right?
There's plenty of different kinds of control charts, and picking the appropriate chart for your particular set of data and your particular circumstance goes a long way to making control charts and SPC in general a very useful tool for you. So let's take a look at the different kinds of control charts just briefly and how you would go about selecting the appropriate one for your circumstance. Now, in some regards, I don't think there is a single universal control chart that will work in all circumstances. So it's understanding your data to start with. Do you have attributes data, or do you have count data? That kind of situation where you're counting defects, for example, or is your data continuous? You're measuring, say, time to failure, or you're measuring a length or a weight or something like that. So depending on what you're measuring, it'll point you in one direction. And the other parts are a little more sophisticated. We'll take a look at those in more detail. Now, there's also a whole slew of literature about different kinds of control charts out there. Exponentially weighted moving average is one that we'll mention in this section, but there's a lot more to these and a lot more types of charts available that will allow you to tailor in to exactly what you need for your circumstance. Now, the learning control charts is really based on the X bar and R chart, and that generally applies to all of these other charts. So it's not, if you've got nothing else and an X bar R chart seems like it would work, give it a shot and learn how to master the tools, the different rules for reading those charts and get some benefit from it. But you should very quickly look for what's the appropriate chart for your particular circumstance. So included in the notes and here on this slide, which may not be the easiest thing to read, I tried to make it as big as I could for the slide, is a flowchart that basically starts with, well, what kind of data do you have? So if you have variables data, the X bar and R, the X bar and S, X and moving range or the moving range type charts, all would apply. But so if you have variable data and you have only subgroups of size one, well, there's nothing there for you to average. So you would have to use an individual's chart and a moving range of some sort. If you have more than if you're taking a sample of more than one at a time, then you can calculate an average. And obviously the larger that subgroup, the better. In a lot of the books and material that I've seen typically start with from 3 to 5 samples, although more is better in many cases, as we've mentioned before. So let's say now let's go down the other side of this flow chart. If you have attributes data, and so it's not variables, it's attributes. And attributes is essentially just count data. Now there's two different ways you can count items of interest and concerning, say, a production line, and you're making widgets that are coming down the line, and you're not measuring like a length or a weight or a continuous variable, but you're counting, say, defects of some sort. Now, the defects can be, it's either a good or a bad unit. It's just pass, fail, for example. And the basic units you're dealing with are all the same size. So think of it as a car door in a factory that's making car doors. And you're going to assess this car door, and it's either going to be pass or fail. So that would be equal sample size. It's one at a time, basically. And you might take a couple of units at a time, or you might take a sample of units, and each one is then judged in and of itself. So an item can either be good or bad, is one way to look at it. And you can use P charts or NP charts to do that. If the sample sizes are the same, if you're measuring, say, 3 at a time, then you can use either the NP or P chart. If not, if sometimes you take 3 and sometimes you take 10, or if you have different batch sizes, for example, that you're evaluating, then the P chart's really the only way to go. Now, the other kind of data that you can collect is, say, the number of defects on the paint of that car door. And so you can have more than one defect per unit, and that's what we mean by aspects. So then again, you ask, is the sample size equivalent? So if you're looking at the same area, say for paint blemishes, the same sample size that you're evaluating, then you can use the C or the U chart, which are two different ways of assessing count data. And C might be the appropriate one. But if you don't, if you're looking at different panels of paint for that vehicle, the different car doors, the back hatch, the bumpers, the side panels, roof, bonnet covers, but the hood or trunk cover, those kinds of different size panels, then your sample size is different each time. So then the U chart is appropriate. Now, the rules for creating these charts and the basic interpretation of them are all very, very similar. But knowing what kind of data you have, variables or attributes, and then with attributes, do you have items data or aspects that you're considering? And the easiest way to keep track of that is aspects will have more than one possible failure counted or defect counted per unit. So I think of it as, is it a go, no go with the car door, or is it the number of scratches and blemishes in the paint of that same car door, and separates us in two different directions. So as I mentioned, these are just a few of the charts that are available. There's a handful of other ones that come in handy, especially when you have limited data. Now, one of them is very similar to just plot the data. And in this case, though, you're also able to add a control chart to it, or control limits to it. But it's called a run chart. And you're just plotting the single readings that you're making one at a time. And it just gives you a basic plot of the individual's data. And I mean, you could put the specifications on here because you're not doing any averages. The data you'll have will be in the same units, essentially, as your specifications. I advise you not to put the specs on there, but instead chart the data and using the control limits for a moving range chart, which we'll mention in a moment, or for a individual's chart, you can determine whether your process is stable or not. Now, let me jump to the last one, right, since I just mentioned this, is X-moving range. That's when you have individual readings, but you're also interested in the range values. And so the moving range, you can take your current reading plus the previous one, or you can go back further. You can, say, take the last five readings. And it's a bit of an experiment to figure out which is going to give you the most sensitive for your circumstance and what you're interested in. But you can take previous readings and lump them together to get your moving range. It's not quite as sensitive as when you're taking multiple samples at once. But if you only are making, say, one unit per day or on a relatively infrequent basis, it may make sense to make the individual readings and do an individual's chart. Now, the other case is that when you really want to detect changes in the mean or changes in the variance term of your data set, the moving average, moving range chart is a little bit more sensitive to changes in the means and variances than the individual's chart. It smooths out the data a little bit, and it looks more closely at those statistics, but it also is not as sensitive to individual readings moving dramatically. So it's a trade-off. And if you've got individuals type data or limited data, is take a look at your data sets and take a look at each one of these charts and see which one is most appropriate for your particular circumstances. A couple of charts that are of note and are not included on the flowchart either is the X-bar sigma chart. And I mentioned this earlier in one of the lessons where the X-bar and R chart is a holdover from the days when calculating standard deviation was very difficult. And today's computers and calculators and so on make the average and standard deviation fairly straightforward and simple to calculate and have available to us. Doing it by hand is pretty tedious. But X-bar and S charts are probably the more likely, if you're thinking about an X-bar and R chart, just substitute in sigma instead of the R, the range values. And you don't need to convert your values, the standard deviation of your readings, your X-bar readings, and then plus or minus three standard deviation of those X-bars, that standard error term, gives you these ranges. And then take a look at the different sigmas and calculate out the appropriate control charts for it, or control limits. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, if you have data that's really skewed, very heavily skewed, such that you would have to take a relatively large sample each time in order to get the benefits of the central limit theorem, is you may be more interested in the median of your, or you may be more interested in the median of your data, not necessarily what the tails are doing, then a medians chart may be appropriate. So it's one, I've rarely seen circumstances where this comes in, but it may fit your particular circumstance. A Q-sum and the exponentially weighted moving average charts, the last two on this chart, are specialized charts that are a bit more sensitive than the typical X-bar and R chart or X-bar and S chart. And they are able to detect relatively small changes in the mean values. So that it may be appropriate. It takes a bit more work, and there are computer programs that make this pretty trivial. If you're going to do it manually, it does take a bit more work and sophistication to make happen. And they're a little bit more difficult to interpret. So once you master the basics of control charts, take a look at these charts and others similar to it, as they can provide yet another level of value from using control charts, and they come in handy in a number of different cases. And so, what's your experience with control charts? Have you seen these done well? Have you not seen them done well? Do you clearly know the difference of what's a good control chart and what's not? I should ask, do you know all seven rules, which is coming up in another lesson? And so make that a quick quiz. One, do you know that there's seven basic rules? And then two, do you know them? Do you know what they are? And we'll come back to that in a future lesson. So next one, we'll take a look at that individuals and moving range charts, and just a few notes about it.